Most of the Gospel of St. Luke presents Jesus on a journey to Jerusalem. I have said that perhaps a few times by now. But, you know, we can identify our personal faith journey that we, you know, walk with God, that we walk with those who are dear to us. And he teaches his disciples, or those following him, not only the 12, the apostles, but all those following him, he's teaching them what it means or what is necessary for one to do, or how to behave, or how to convert oneself to be his follower, to be his disciples. Today and following week, following Sunday, we also, the gospel will teach us about the value of prayer, which I believe, if those at least who grew in a family with religion from since their childhood, they would know that we were taught the value of prayer. All the readings today talk about that. The prayer of intercession that we find in the book of Exodus. Moses, you know, goes up on a hill and see the battle that is going down against his people. And he prays to God. And it's interesting the way it represents, you know, while Moses keeps his hands up, they are winning the battle. When he puts his hands down, they start losing the battle. Then hands up, they win. Hands down, they start losing. And they said, well, they found a way to put Moses sitting down. And then, how can you stay the whole day like this? Usually they would fight by day and they would rest during the night. And they would come back and fight the other day only during sunlight. So it says that, you know, one came one side and the other on the other side. And there they were holding, you know, Moses' hands up high so that they could win that battle. I think we should pay attention not so much in the battle itself, but in the gesture. There's so much there. First of all, is Moses praying, you know, like there is a battle going down, but then also, you know, that moment of intercession, praying for victory. But then he cannot do that by himself. Moses couldn't do that by himself. He needed help. Of course, they all needed God's help, but even physically, he needed somebody to be there, you know, two people at least. And probably those got tired too, so they had to change this and bring others to keep his hands in a sign of intercession. When we bless, you know, the liturgical blessing, you know, usually the priest, you know, we also extend our hands. The conclusion of each Mass here is a tradition to bless those who are celebrating anniversaries or birthdays, important dates in their lives, and we all extend our hands. That's the intercessory prayer. You know, that's the idea. You know, somebody the other day said, "Father, I don't like to do." Usually, we do it one hand, you know, but or invited to at least do it with one hand. Somebody said, "Father, I don't do this because it shows brings bad memories." Okay, said, but the idea is what we saw with Moses. That's the meaning. That is the we are interceding. We are praying over that person or those who are here asking God's blessings. But we can never do it by ourselves. It's interesting how the scripture teaches us to approach God, but it's never a straight line. So always we need other people's help. And that's sometimes not easy. Because we live in a world that more and more is trying to say, you are self-sufficient. You just need your technology, nothing else. You don't need to talk to other people. You don't need to interact with anybody. And God is telling us that He is present. He is acting, you know. He is manifesting Himself to us in that way, through other people who are surrounding us. The gospel tells us of this judge that neither feared God nor any human being. I don't think he was a good judge, because he didn't care about God, he didn't care about people. Yet, that widow, and you know that when we see the widow or the orphan or the alien, the stranger in the land, whenever we see those talk, that they are, you know, the most vulnerable ones in the scriptures. They had nobody who would speak up for them or defend them. They had no rights. They had, usually a woman would be dependent upon a man who should go there and talk to the judge and present the case and try to win that case. The widow had nobody but going there and being persistent. Until the judge said, enough. I can't see this woman anymore. I better give her what she's asking or do a just decision, a verdict that will be just, then she won't bother me anymore. Now, prayer. What is prayer for us? Many people learned that praying is, or the first perhaps prayers that we have learned, we learn them by heart. We learn how to pray the Our Father. We learn the Hail Mary, perhaps the Rosary, some other devotional prayers that we are taught perhaps as a child. And for some people, those will be their prayers for their whole lives. I remember once I was meeting and they were preparing themselves, you know, but a couple for marriage. They had been married civilly, and they came to church to have their wedding blessed in the church. She was Catholic. He was not. And that was the reason that at first they didn't marry in the Catholic Church. But they had children, and their children had been raised Catholics, because the man, he didn't care much, you know, about practicing his religion at that time. But they came. They were close. They had been married for almost 50 years. They are over their 70s. Said, wow, what that long? What did they care? What did they bother to come? You know, it was important for her. She grew up as Catholic and never left the faith. She just didn't marry. And then talking to her, and she had an old book that she would bring to church. Eventually, I married them and everything else. But an old book, he said, oh, you have an old book there. I mentioned, I said, yes, yeah, these are my book of prayers that I learned from the nuns, she said, when I was a child in school. And she came from different countries, and was still there, her language that she learned how to pray. And I said, these are the prayers that I carry in my heart. Now, prayer, I believe we should give one step further. There was a time when there used to be places that you would go and buy books. They were called bookstores. They're not that many out there anymore. There used to be one here in Winter Garden, you know, mall. It's gone. And when we would go to those places, at least myself, sometimes half of my day off would be there, not buying books, but wandering around. I like that, you know. And the session I was observing year after year, the session that would talk about spirituality. You would go there and perhaps you would just find a shelf of books referring to spirituality. As the year passed, that would grow, you know, a session and this and that. And all kind of books that, you know, now it's such a wide range that, you know, spirituality is such a vast term that can, you know, anything could be in there. And they were teaching meditation, and they were teaching, so many ways of kind of, basically, many of them will say, to disconnect from the busyness, you know, how busy we have our lives, so you need a time to just to unplug and just be with yourself or with energies. I don't know, there are so many ways of saying that. And it just shows that we live in a world that is really hungry for that God's presence, that is searching. Yet our faith and our spirituality is not so much as to unplug, as to disconnect, as to be, you know, in a void, as, oh, nothing is affecting me. It's not so much in that direction. Quite the opposite. Spirituality is the one that will connect me to God. And as I said, there's no way of connecting to God, you know, as if it was just straight up. I know God is up there, you know, you draw a vertical line and up you go. No. It's through my life experiences. That's the way I will find God. And that's the way I will see so many people who will represent or will be God's presence and God's messengers in my life. We'll have the experience that Moses had of, you know, perhaps sometimes we'll be with our hands outstretched and praying for people. Other situations, people will be holding our hands because we'll be tired, but they'll be there helping us. Other occasions, we'll be down in the battle, and others will be praying and interceding for us. So when we talk about prayer, is a living experience. It's an ongoing experience. It's a search and it's a response. It is a dialogue that we'll need, definitely, that time of silence, the time of being and praying with the Lord, and the Lord will answer. And the Lord will answer. You see what the gospel says? If that judge, who neither feared God nor any respect any human being, if he delivered justice, how much more God, who cares for us, who's merciful toward us, will he not speedily, you know? Now, God's time is not our time. You know, our idea of speedily is right now. Well, maybe not so for God. God knows what we need before we even ask that. So it's a prayer of trusting. It's a prayer of putting to God's hands, surrounding or surrendering to God all our petitions, all our prayers. We'll see in history how sometimes people who were not so relevant, who were not so considered important, but just regulars, perhaps as we are, but with their actions were able to make such a huge change, touch so many lives, to start a chain reaction of good things. Now, that is possible. And how things can change with that. That's the power of believing in the prayer. That's what that widow, you know, even though she was searching perhaps her justice for her case, but when we talk and do not look only at ourselves, but the world beyond us, that is possible to become a reality. So we pray, and I ask that the Lord will give us a prayerful heart, that we will pray with our lives, you know, the struggles that we go through. Sometimes, I don't know, each one will know the struggles they have to go through in life. Health issues, financial issues, family issues, so many. You know, we can go on and on. But the Lord teaches, don't give up. Keep on asking. But as he taught his disciple and he teaches us in the most perfect prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that's thy will be done, not ours. We pray not to try to change God's will. Please, God, do this for me because I do know that I need this now. Because we might be frustrated when we see that what I'm asking for is not happening. And I said, well, God does not love me, God does not want me, God does not hear me. We can ask, yes, but we have to put in God's hands, thy will be done. So the prayer is not so much to convince God, but it is for our good, so that we may understand what is God's will in our lives, what is God's will in the world today. And that we may be, you know, accept this will, and then we'll find happiness and be instruments of God in the world that we live.